Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Thank you for everybody that bought my new album. It is available now on iTunes, keithandthegirl.com/album. It's entitled Awake. And come on, it's hard to keep track, right? What words we say nowadays, how to treat people. Do you treat them with respect? What do you do? That's what this album's about. And thanks for taking a look at it. Today's guest from Late Night with Seth Meyers, Comedy Central's Adam Devine's House Party, MTV's Girl Code, and MTV2's Guy Code.
Susan Boyle. Hi.
How you doing, Mateo Lane?
Good. How are you?
I am well, thank you. First of all, let me remind people, if you go to keithandthegirl.com/video, it's our free video feed. And on there, you see this brilliant video that one Stephen Drahob put together of Mateo Lane doing the Barefoot Contessa. And tell me, if I may say, Mateo, brilliant?
It's the funniest video I've ever seen. It's just a conversation of Hemda and I talking about the Barefoot Contessa, and everything we said, he found, he had the receipts. He found footage of it. I mean, especially when I was saying that she comes up that beach and it is, I'm hurricane winds.
Right.
Hurricane winds, which any normal person would go to the beach and say, you know what, guys? It's too windy and loud to have a picnic. And she's like, let's go. And it's just whoosh. And they found it. Her and the party of three people. Her everything. They found it. It was just fabulous.
It's so much fun. It's at keithandthegirl.com/video. It's free. It's like, what, 2 minutes or something?
It's like a minute. Yeah, 2 minutes long. It was like one of the most, that was one of the most exciting things I've ever seen. I texted you right away. Like, I am blown away by the, I mean, it was so good. I was very flattered. That's, you know.
I didn't even tell the guy to pick that video. He's like, he wants to make some videos for us. Yeah, he wants to make videos for us. And I said, well, how about you? Tell me what hit you lately and where you want to go. And that's the first one that he picked.
Well, we also gave him a lot of material.
Right.
And I always feel like every time we start this show, we do go into Barefoot Contessa. And I can see a fear in your eye that we're never going to get off that topic. Because these two over here,
right,
we will talk about this to the end of time. And you're like,
like, I enjoy a little chocolate, but I don't have to be swimming in the ocean at the chocolate factory.
Chocolate, make sure you put a little bit of coffee or espresso in it. Not because it makes it taste like chocolate, but it really richens the
it's so good.
Or the coffee or chocolate, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a, yeah.
All right, let me ask you this.
If you really want to help your chocolate, just add the vanilla, but the good vanilla.
Yeah, make sure you get the good vanilla extract.
Congrats, by the way, on Pride Month.
Thanks.
Congrats on Pride Month.
No, you I created it. Well, yeah. I was born on the Stonewall Riots anniversary and the death of Judy Garland.
See?
Shut your fucking mouth.
I am like, the yeah.
Right. Now, I think you're supposed to say, keep a good month, right? You don't say happy month. You say, I hope you keep a good month.
Keep a good.
What do you do? Do you do something special for Pride month?
No, yeah. I mean for Pride, well, it's always on my birthday. So I'm always just like, it's kind of a mess. You know what I mean? I also am very embarrassed by birthdays. I don't like them. I don't like that kind of attention. So that's why this year for my birthday, I'm doing that show, my show with Chrissy Cello.
Mm. Okay.
So for Pride, I will be celebrating it by battling. I have a show called Battle of the Divas with Chrissy Cello, a show that you have to come to it, you guys.
Yes, I do.
Because
yes.
It's what we do is we have two divas that are very comparable, right? Like Whitney, Mariah, Madonna versus Cher. We've had Beyonce versus Gaga. And we get two quote unquote experts, comedians, right, to come on the show. And they have three rounds to debate these divas, who's the best, but they can use any visual means necessary.
Oh my God.
And then we have drag queens open the show as those divas. And then we have an audience participation so people can ask questions. Here's the thing, is you would think that people really don't give a shit about this kind of stuff,
right,
but people get enraged about it because you don't, there are like millions of videos on YouTube of just like Whitney versus Mariah, Christina's high note versus Miley's. Like, right. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we've got this show going. We do it monthly at Union Hall. And this month we're doing the Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC. And we have drag kings opening the show as them.
Oh my God, that's going to be so good.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Oh yes.
I'm voting NSYNC. But anyway.
Okay, so who do you think won? Beyonce or Gaga?
Ugh, Beyonce.
Gaga.
Shut your face.
And you would think everyone's like, oh, well, Beyonce's going to win. But then it's all up to the argument. You know what I mean? It was David Mizzoni and Matt Rogers. And David Mizzoni really argued a point for Gaga, and the audience fell for it. Huh. And we asked the audience to clap for who they want at the beginning. We surveyed at the beginning of the show. And Beyonce won at first. And then at the end, Gaga won.
What is a, I mean, I know.
I might get arrested for saying that. Now yeah, I might go missing.
We all know the answer to this, but for those who don't, what is a drag king?
A drag king is a woman impersonating a man's act.
Okay.
Like a drag queen impersonating a man impersonating a woman.
Is the, like the drag queen outfits go beyond.
Well, men aren't as interesting as women, so right. No, drag kings are never visually as interesting okay. as a drag queen.
It's always just a suit, I guess, right?
It depends on the act that they're doing.
Okay.
There's some flamboyant men out there, but, you know, a lot of times it's like, you know, drag queens right. can wear the heels and the makeup and the hair and the this and the glitter or the that, and the, you know. Right.
Is all that, let's say, pomp and circumstance, that's got to be exciting to Liza Minnelli. Does this whole month exist?
Well,
the Mermaid Parade?
It's always a film. To have pride because I've seen so many people impersonate me.
Right.
And I always thought they look really bad. And I realized it looks just like me. Because I used to make a great London broil with my mother.
Right.
And taffy.
And taffy.
And so every year for pride, I'd do the same thing. Except I burned my kitchen down.
Well, that's some dinner. When you were on Arrested Development.
Yes.
Did you know?
Well, I remember lights and I remember disco music and I remember dancing.
Right.
So, no, I don't.
She always goes back to Studio 54.
Because she was so funny on Arrested Development, but obviously well, she didn't write her own lines.
No one wrote me lines. It just sort of filmed me in my dressing room.
I really think she doesn't know she was on a show. The other day we were talking about Katy Perry, who did she did like a Facebook Live event for multiple days, and they show her, you know, supposedly sleeping and, you know, handling
like a Truman Show with Katy Perry.
Yes,
who gives a shit?
This is how I guess people did, because this is what she put out and it got attention. She's put out a new album, so this was to promote the new album,
right? And that's a weird way to promote an album. It's like watching Katy Perry take a shit.
I'm like, but how
you know what I mean? Normally, you want the best of somebody, not like, shit, I have irritable bowel syndrome. You're like, excuse me.
I think that's song number four.
Right. I'd be watching the whole time, like, well, she's been in the bathroom a long time.
It's true. What did they do when she went to the bathroom or shower? Right. You know? She doesn't go. That's the thing. That's what she, that's the real lesson.
So now she's in the hospital for kidney failure.
You see all her handlers just roll their eyes. That's what they do.
And just gay men giving each other side eye.
Yeah. And then Katie comes out of the bathroom like, oh, Katie, it's you again. This is her talk. This is like day three, I think. And she's talking to a therapist.
Oh, God.
I'm really strong as Katy Perry.
Yes.
Pause already. Okay. First of all, she is bringing herself to tears. No one asked her to do this but herself. And now she's inviting a therapist on her own accord for a video for herself and her fans to talk about her album, which means she has brought herself to tears.
Right.
And I know what she's going to say. I'm strong as Katy Perry on stage and off stage. Wah!
Let's see if you're close.
I'm really strong as Katy Perry.
Yes.
Pause. Was that Jafar? Is she sitting with Jafar?
I'm really strong as Katy Perry.
Yes, Prince Abu Boo.
Like, Scooze? Who is that therapist she brought? The person I see in my head has a jewel on his head and a parrot on his right shoulder.
I'm really strong as Katy Perry.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm not as strong as Catherine Hudson, and like.
And Catherine doesn't have to be strong.
Who's Catherine? Is that Catherine has her real name?
Yeah.
So she's a schizo.
Yeah.
She's got two personalities.
That would be better than this. Okay. I would accept schizophrenia because she has reason to talk about herself in the third and fourth person.
I mean, is she going to, at any point, is she going to get a voice therapist in there to tell her how to support her breath?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm really strong as Katy Perry.
Yes.
You know, people like talk about my hair, right?
Yes.
Is she talking to the Hollywood medium? People talk about her. Hey, talk about your hair. What? Talk about your hair. What? I'm waiting for a real problem.
You know how people talk about my hair.
Yes, go on. You're a celebrity. Go on.
You wear 17,000 wigs. I don't even know what your hair is.
She has 100,000. She has 100 million followers on Twitter. So something tells me the percentage of people talking shit about her is a small percentage compared to the other percentage that loves her.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, people like talk about my hair, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
And they don't like it. Or they wish that like it was longer.
Uh-huh. Pause. I actually need a paper towel for I'm sweating so much.
And like, I so badly want to be Katherine Hudson that I don't even want to look like Katy Perry anymore sometimes.
Okay.
And like,
okay, pause real quick.
So he can change it up.
Did my butt interview her for this? What is that gay voice slithering itself across the room, not helping her at all? She's sitting there crying about her fucking hair, and he's like, got it. Sounds like a manager of Claire's.
I think he's, I'm going to guess he's a legitimate therapist, but he's not willing to really sell himself out. So he's like, I'll tell you what, sweetheart, I'll do it. This will give us some money for vacation. And I'll just keep saying yes.
I think you're giving him so much more credit than he deserves. I just know it. I just know it.
You think he's a backup dancer?
Yeah.
I so badly want to be Katherine Hudson that I don't even want.
I
want to
be Katherine Hepburn.
But we all can't get what we want.
I know.
She wants to be herself.
Yeah.
Bitch, oh my what God. Do you. What?
Oh my
I mean,
God.
Listen. I don't know.
Longer. And like, I so badly want to be Katherine Hudson that I don't even want. To look like Katy Perry anymore.
Is Katie in the room? Did she hear me?
Pause real quick. I mean, here's my thing is like, this, first of all, this is not helping her sell an album. Secondly, how far, like, do these people realize how far removed they are from reality right. when they're talking this way? It's the same thing with Oprah. Oprah is like Voldemort, and she's got horcruxes to stay alive forever. Mm. And those horcruxes are Dr. Oz, Rachel Ray, Dr. Phil, Bread. I mean, it's like Oprah is now talking about her weight. Like she, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like she has to use her own fat to relate to real people. That's the only way she can relate to real people now is just by the fat on her arms.
She points to her thigh and then to a regular civilian.
For real. I'll never forgive Oprah for, well, you can all calm down. When referring to Trump, I was like, bitch, you've been in your tower for so long talking about bread that you don't realize the rest of the world is about to lose their fucking health insurance. I'm sweating.
By the way, as he's saying this, he's legitimately taking a paper towel.
That's real problems.
Stuffing it under his pits.
I'm sweating. It is hot.
I cut my hair is because I really want to be my authentic self, like 100%. And
I understand.
So it hurts, you know, when I don't feel like I can.
What, sing?
I wonder if she's easy to date. Like, I'd see her and be like, I gotta say, I hope I'm not out of line. Your hair, wow.
What I'd like to hear is her going, is someone saying, when you say, baby, you're a fire, when you go on the fire, mm-hmm. I want you to lift the soft palate and breathe from your diaphragm. Firework!
But my hair.
Hear the pitch.
But my hair.
And instead she's like,
someone doesn't like my blush.
What were you saying? What's the Hollywood medium?
The Hollywood Medium is a show that E is trying to sell us, where it's about this gay guy who's very nice, but apparently he talks to dead people.
Okay.
So, of course, E gets a hold of him, so it's got to be legit. And he goes and talks specifically to celebrities, but then tells these celebrities that he knows nothing about them. So he interviews, like, Carney Wilson, and verbatim he goes, I'm seeing the name Wilson.
He doesn't even go for a letter.
And she goes, oh, that's my last name. And he's like, yes, yeah, of course, correct. And he's always scribbling on a piece of paper, and it's literally just like circles.
I'm picturing her mamas and a papa.
Well, it's the same thing as Long Island Medium, a show which I didn't realize how much I loved until I was on the road forced to watch it at 12 o'clock at night.
She's so good.
Everything she says is a lie. But I
but
love
she's so good.
I love her because she walks into rooms and like she'll just go to like, she goes to the obvious. You know what I mean? She walks into like a Spanish person. She's like, someone in your life's name is Maria. You know, and it's like, I feel bad for her husband because they can't do anything together. He's like, I just want a night to go bowling together.
I saw an episode. episode with the husband in it, and they went to one of my favorite Italian restaurants, which I can't go to anymore. It's on the border of Long Island and Queens. That's just way too far. Ivoroni Brothers, check it out if you're in the neighborhood. Amazing.
I'll go.
Yes, you should. You would love it. So anyway, she's there in the restaurant. Yeah, shout out.
Their hours are 9 to 10, I want everybody to know. Sundays, check for a reservation.
And she's wearing that, it looks like she's wearing that wig that Julia Roberts wore on Mother's Day, that like shit wig.
It's Long Island. Yeah, it's the wig comes with the nails. You know that. Yes. And the whole like orange complexion. Absolutely. Yes. She looks like Trump put his finger in the socket and then just the hair came out.
Yeah.
And so she's sitting in the restaurant and her husband's like, don't do it. Don't get up and talk to anyone. She's like, no. We're on a date. No. As soon as he goes to the bathroom, she's like, for a second. And I'm like, I don't know who you're talking to. You're free to go. Your husband's in the bathroom. He's probably taking a shit, needing a break from all this.
He just wants a brujol. And she's like, your mother.
She walks over to this couple. They're eating. And she goes, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm a medium. If you want me to talk to you, you know, just if you want me to walk away, but I just can't. And there they are eating. And I believe that she told them about a dead person in their life.
Yeah. It's like this woman was going bowling and she walks up. She's like, yes, son, he's dead. And she's like, yes, I'm trying to forget it right now. He's dead. He tells me there's a necklace. And the husband's like, God damn it. I just wanted a fucking bowl. And then I love that she does this whole thing all day. I don't even know if she's telling people's like talking to the dead or she's just yelling at people. Because she's always just like, I told you. What did I say? I said it. And then like she goes home and she's like, who's gonna take out the dog? And I realize that show is the same show as Leah Remini's show about Scientology. It's just a bunch of Italian women from Long Island who bust into people's houses like, what did they do to you? I mean, that was Leah Remini's whole show. Was every commercial break was just like, what are we gonna do? And then it was commercial break. And she's always driving.
Oh, I never saw that
Oh,
one.
I got the
it's
flu.
It's a fascinating story.
I had the flu like in the first week of January. So I was stuck in bed. I was so sick that, you know, when you like YouTube just like takes itself on its own journey. So somehow it got to Leah Remini's Scientology show and I was too weak to get up and change it. So I watched the entire,
oh my God,
someone uploaded the whole season. I watched the whole thing. And by the end of it, I mean, you don't really learn anything. You're just like, I really like Leah Remini.
I always did, but that's just me. Yeah. I was so upset. I thought she opted into Scientology, but it turns out she was born into it and had to get herself out of it, which is such a different story.
Yeah.
I wish her well.
Oh, that's nice.
Did we want to listen to more of that Katy Perry thing? I mean, it's pretty gross.
No, you know what I want to talk about?
Yes.
Lindsay Lohan. How's she holding
up? First of all, it's her. Does anyone follow her on Instagram? Do you guys follow her on Instagram? It is better
than
Game of Thrones.
I need both of you to get off that and focus on work. Thank you. What the fuck are they doing? They're both nodding.
Literally, okay, can I just take you down Lindsay Lohan the past couple months? Mm-hmm. First of all, she lost a finger in a boating accident in Greece.
Oh.
Oh, yes. And then she wrote a poem to ISIS.
To help them?
A lot of things rhyme with ISIS, though.
Or to call
them. No, she was, and the grammar was my favorite part of that poem. Then she erased all of her Instagram, and then it resurfaced with her trying to, because you know how Disney's making cartoons and bringing them into like live action movies like Beauty and the Beast and stuff like that, Cinderella. So she's trying to campaign herself to be the Little Mermaid, which I think is hysterical because, you know, I didn't know mermaids could smoke underwater. But also her voice, like, under the sea. You know what I mean? Like by the time she gets to Ursula, Ursula's going to be like, you know what? You keep the voice.
Act, but isn't it a little bit smart?
No, it's dumb.
She's 30 and looks like she's in her early hundreds. There's no way she can play the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, the campaigning.
No, I got serious eyes from Mateo on that one.
I mean,
he was like, we were friends before comment.
Emda, part of your world is gonna sound like. She sounds like Rachel Ray.
Oh, you're right.
Feel bad for Rachel Ray, the most stressful show on television. The most stressed 30-minute meals with Rachel Ray. First of all, she never cooked anything you liked. So I'm sure I've bitched about this on this show before. Rachel Ray, right?
I love Rachel Ray. She told me everything.
She has what I call beef jerky voice. Yes. And she, why do we have to rush meals in 30 minutes? Why do I have to watch a pudgy Italian woman who can barely reach anything on that fucking counter struggle to cook a shit chicken while there's like a James Bond 30-minute countdown clock behind her? Like by like 10 minutes, it's like you see sniper dots on her head. Like, Rachel, better cook this meal or else. She's right. You know what? We don't. That's why she has to say EVOO, because if she says olive oil, it's not enough time. She'll get shot. I saw this giant thing at Times Square and it was like, cooking with Rachel. I'm like, You've cooked enough.
You know what? I do want, they ran that woman. Oh my God. I remember like 30 minute meals, totally fine. She repeats a couple things. Her favorite word, phrase to say is you can make this 1,000 different ways. Well, that was 1,000 different shows. I get it.
Yeah.
You
know, it is rough.
Yeah. But
also here's the tea is that she is not the nicest to work with. No, allegedly.
I'm not hearing you. Okay. I can't.
All right.
I cannot.
I'll listen, buddy. What are they saying?
She sounds like she's a bitch to work with. Mm. Allegedly.
Mm. That's hard to believe. I think.
Oh, get the gays talk.
Okay. Well, I don't want to negate what the gays say. God forbid.
Which makes it's crazy to me because Rachel Ray should be thankful she has a career at all. She has zero talent. She has a horrible voice and she's very unlikable. So I find it shy. And she's one of Oprah's horcruxes.
I will fight you. I don't understand this.
Get the bats.
I don't understand.
Kendra would like to be clear. She's saying, look, I find it very hard to believe because she knows how to put chicken in a sauce.
Do you?
So I can't believe what I'm hearing.
You know who I hear is very easy to work with is Wendy Williams.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Wendy Williams.
I watch her every day.
I think she's easy to work with in that she will call you out and chew you out and should be.
Yeah. I think she's nothing but herself. This is my favorite thing she does on that show. I can see Keith's eyes glazing over. This is my favorite thing on that show is that the secret with Wendy Williams, right? She'll show a picture of like Brad and Angelina. She'll mention them, but then bring it back to her. She'll be like, okay, so I want to talk about Brad and Angelina real quick. Do you ever have people come over to your home? Do you know what I'm talking about? Suzanne, am I wrong? Suzanne, Norman, first of all, I want to say this tea, too much honey. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. I love
you. Isn't that her? Exactly.
Yeah, I just want to hear you.
Exactly.
I haven't watched her in a while because ever since she got off the radio, like I was watching her, I was listening to her on the radio. Was
I love the Wendy Williams radio days. That Whitney Houston interview is one of the greatest. Do you remember? You've got to just, can you please YouTube Wendy Williams, Whitney Houston, and just click anywhere and listen to it. You've got to listen, just type it in and then click halfway through. It is what, first of all, every gay man has heard this. Secondly, it is one for the ages. And my friend Bob the Drag Queen always says Whitney has notoriously lost every single interview she's ever done. This is the only interview she won.
Really?
She sounds like a mad woman. And Wendy doesn't, I mean, it is off the walls. It is the craziest interview I have. It takes that Diane Sawyer interview and throws it into the river.
Really?
I mean, yes. I'm sorry to do this to you, Keith, but this is great entertainment and this is gay history. So listen up for Pride Month.
Whitney, Whitney, Whitney.
Wendy, Wendy, Wendy.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my Lord, have I waited for this day?
Have you?
Well, yes, I have. Haven't you?
Whitney.
Yes, dear.
Absolutely.
I know it.
I don't believe that I've ever met you in my entire career.
Ain't that funny? You talk about me all the time.
And you are top billing.
Is that why you talk about me all the time?
Absolutely.
You don't even know me.
But here's the thing. I talk about you in two ways. In the way that the media talks about Whitney,
yes.
But I always talk about you as being one of the greatest voices of our time. Mariah Carey is another one. You two do two separate works, but you have a voice that is just unbeatable, Whitney.
Oh, look, it all works out.
You fast forward just a little bit.
I say we do other shows the whole show.
All right, I'm sorry. I just want you to hear the good stuff. You got it right as she picked up the phone.
Whitney, you keep yourself in the headlines.
No, Wendy, y'all keep me in the headlines. I mind my business. I try to maintain what I got. I want to know what I'm doing all the time. I don't give a shit about what you're doing all the time. As long as you're healthy and God is best in you and you're doing the right thing and being a decent person, I can handle that.
When's the last time you talked to Robin?
About a week ago.
Because I know that you and Robin were girlfriends from when you were growing up.
And we're still friends.
I just said I'd talk to her tomorrow. Isn't that crazy? I mean, sorry to take you off topic, but that's like, those were the days. Those were the golden years of Wendy Williams when she interviewed Whitney Houston.
I'm going to need to meet Wendy Williams before I die.
Same.
Or before she dies. And I'm going to need to keep my shit together because
You know, I went to the show. Nicole Byer was on the show as a guest, and I said, well, I'm coming with you to the green room. There's no way you're not taking me with you. So I went. I was about 5 feet away from Wendy Williams.
I never wanted to touch you more. Just want to reach out and touch you.
And all the staff worked on Comedy Knockout, so they were all like, hey, Mateo.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, hi. It was wild. But I mean, the thing is, like, a lot of people don't like Wendy Williams, and I understand that because she's very, like, in your face. But like, someone's like, oh, please, like, Oprah's better than Wendy Williams. But I think
Wendy Williams is not the same thing.
It's not, but at least Wendy shows you who she is. At least she shows you who she is. I think Oprah's a liar.
Why are we comparing Oprah and Wendy?
I don't know.
Why? Because
a daytime talk show, you know, they're like tyrants, da da da. Like Ellen, people are comparing Ellen to Oprah now too.
But that's crazy. They do nothing of the same thing. They're on like just what, when the sun is shining? That's
insane. What are they doing?
They're hiring therapists to come over in a 24-hour Facebook Live section that no one gives a shit about and have them indulge them in ridiculous, nonsensical ramblings.
I think that is what they're doing.
I mean, insane. 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 Just crying about her hair and her stage name. Joan Rivers, if she was alive, would just lose it.
I think she is losing it.
Do we bother, Mateo, paying attention to these silly things Donald Trump says? By that, I mean, I will see somebody, he'll say something stupid, and then somebody writes unbelievable in RTs. And I'm like, I don't think that word means what you think it means. It's believable now.
With Trump?
Yeah, the guy says dumb shit. Evil shit, but just stupid 4 a.m. shit.
I hear a couple of things on the Trump administration. One, I think Kellyanne Conway looks like a waterfall with eyes. And I think that she would be a great contestant for that Fox show, The Swan. And here's why. One, we can just give her the facelift she so desperately needs.
Do we remember The Swan?
Let's get into it. Please. And two, we'll get rid of her for 6 months. The Swan was ABC had a show called Extreme Makeover. Like if someone had a cleft lip, they fix it and your family's like, we love you. So Fox, being the king of like diluting shows within an inch of their lives and stealing other people's programming, was like, we have to have our own version of Extreme Makeover. So they made this show called The Swan, which they had 19 women who honestly just needed a blowout and a new jacket. And they forced them into months of invasive plastic surgery, shielding them from their family and mirrors, and make them look exactly like the host of the show. And the thing is, and they got surgeries they didn't even need. Yeah. Lips, nose, this, that. They always had like the bodies standing there in like yellowed underwear and put like a grid map, like it's a military map of Syria. And they're like, we're going to get the neck and the clavicle and the, and they're just, what are you going to do? And then they come out of surgery and they're just bandaged up like, I can't wait to be beautiful. And then they have the reveal and they always weep. They weep and weep and weep. And I'm so beautiful. And the doctors come out like, you know, some weird cult and all clapping. Yeah. And stuff. And then they force them into a beauty pageant with the other women to see who becomes crowned the swan.
Meanwhile, they have nothing to do with how they look now.
Oh, now it's all about looks.
Right.
I mean, that show was A+ television. They only had one season, but I would have watched 18. And I hope the producers are in prison, but I would have watched 18 right. seasons of that show.
And how does Kelly fit in with the swan?
Give her a makeover and get rid of her for 6 months.
Oh, I see.
Wouldn't it be great?
I agree.
She's so annoying.
It's the only time that I want a makeover very, very, very bad.
Yes. Kellyanne Conway be like, we're going to give you a makeover and then just get rid of her.
She loves being on her phone. Am I wrong, folks?
Her bare feet in the White House and just what a weird photo. I am obsessed with the whole Trump everything. But we don't have to get into it. But I don't have much much opinion on it besides what I'm watching on television.
Right.
And listening to on the radio.
It's like, Mateo, go ahead, you can say. Well, I am not pleased.
Okay, yeah, well, I don't let you know, it's upsetting because I remember back in my day.
Right.
I remember the first thing I remember was they called it an airplane.
Right.
But it really was just a chair with wings.
who's saying this to you, Liza?
Who?
Right. Okay. So let's say you're not pleased with,
I found some clay because I had broken my knee. Okay. And so I was sitting in the hospital and thought, well, I'll just start fooling around with stuff I love because I had my knee replaced.
Right.
And I was upside down in a hospital making an album and I started to work with clay.
What
the woman should wear the dress.
When did the drug start, Liza?
I know. I'm just repeating what she said on the Home Shopping Network. Did I ever make you guys watch that? Liza on the Home Shopping Network, where she's drunk and laying like she's in traction. And the host of that show, I'm telling you, the hosts of these shows deserve Nobel Peace Prize for keeping these women, Paula Abdul, Liza, etc., Mariah, to keep them looking lucid and alive. I mean, literally, at one point, they're like, all right, we have Doris on the line. Doris is from Georgia. Doris, say hi to Liza Minnelli. And Liza goes, hello, Georgia from Doris.
And the person thinks they heard wrong because it's still a thrill.
My favorite is when the host goes, Liza's wearing a bracelet, and the host goes, and you can wear 4 or 5. And Liza goes, of what? She goes, bracelets. And Liza goes, one will do. It's like, Liza.
She's like, I'm looking at the board and you're selling a set of 3. There's one. You wear one.
It's so. And the callers, one caller's like, you're truly a mentor to all of us. And Liza goes, thank you so much. You're my mentor too. It was wild. It was wild.
Speaking of food, let me mention this. I use Blue Apron, and I think you'll like it too. That's a true story. Blue Apron gives you the freshest ingredients, and the key is the exact right amount of ingredient you need. Let's say you need a quarter of a cabbage. Guess what stores don't sell you? A quarter of a cabbage. They give you exactly the right amount. Nothing gets wasted. You don't feel guilty. And you're making a five-star meal in?
I dated a ballet dancer who did Blue Apron. It was great.
It's fantastic. And
for non-Italians.
You have no... I had no cooking skill.
Yeah.
No exaggeration. I'd be like, do I really put the pizza in the oven? The microwave will do, you know. But then I'm making a four-star, five-star meal. Whichever generation you're from, you know, we used to only have four stars when we were kids. But
is that true?
I'm making these... in fact, no joke, we have a chalkboard at home, and my wife was sick, so I write, welcome to the Love Hospital, you know, your doctor is Dr. Malley, real cute, and then your patient number one in room number one, and then when she got discharged, I gave 4 stars. I'm like, you are a 4-star patient, and for a second, she's like, why not 5?
Nah.
I'm like, this is going to turn into something 5? Because 4 is the most. She's like, you're an idiot. 5 is the most. And, you know.
That was the only time the age difference showed itself in our relationship.
Right. I'm making these great meals with Blue Apron. You get a piece of cardboard, tells you, you know, step by step what to do with pictures. 25 minutes, I'm done. I beat Rachel Ray and the food's much better.
Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah, that piece of paper, most of it is pictures. So, you know, like you won't have to do a lot. In fact, I actually love cooking, but I don't get a chance to except for Blue Apron now because we're so busy recently. And so the other day I came home at like after 11 p.m. and I'm like, to cook a meal right now would be crazy. But then I don't have to separate the ingredients and figure that shit out. It's like if I call delivery right now, after 11, you only get like the pizza and the bullshit
Chinese food.
Things that you're going to feel bad about after you eat. Or I can, the amount of time that I wait for the food, I can do this thing that I really like. And they're very careful about, you know, not using like 5 pans. You know what I mean? It's like 1 pan, maybe 1 thing in the oven where you don't have to clean up.
There's a lot of people who don't know how to cook. I learned how to cook from an Italian woman, but a lot of people don't know how to cook. I find are very, they're very intimidated by the grocery store because you go there and like a recipe calls for some things and then you end up finding 7 different things that say the same thing. And so then you're confused in the grocery store and measurements and this and that. So
the measurements I think are the toughest part in the grocery store because something calls for like, you know, a teaspoon of it
and sugar and you only can get that bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a great way to teach people how to cook good food.
Blue Apron saying, for example, you just take mustard, shallots, white vinegar, you can make your own dressing, or you can go to the store and find their sugary shit like an asshole. Now, this is some rough copy, but they're not out of line saying that.
Yeah, I always feel good with what I eat from Blue Apron.
Warm smoked trout and asparagus salad with fingerling potatoes and garlic croutons. But you asked me a couple years ago, I would have thought this was 5 different meals. This is all one meal I just read. Elote style.
I don't know what that means.
Right?
Right.
I love it.
Elote style vegetable tostadas with summer squash, poblano peppers, and cilantro rice. And if you're curious, they have little cards of information that explains what things are.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Even if you don't know, like, there's some ingredients where if you just tell me the name, I wouldn't know what that is. And it's all labeled, so it makes me feel better.
Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/KATG. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/KATG. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right. Now, I do understand I owe people a Casey Jones dog update. I was saying how the other day my dog got into my wife's Adderall, which she hardly ever takes. That's the bad news. That means there's a lot of Adderall.
The dog or your wife?
My wife, but now I found out my dog's a drug addict.
Right.
In fact, I went to the emergency vet today to, you know, see how my dog's doing. And I'm like, yeah, do you have Casey Jones, the drug addict?
Yeah.
And right away, they knew we have to have an intervention.
Your dog's wearing like one of Whitney Houston's old waves.
You're the one who keeps me in the fucking papers, Keith. Yeah. And I'm like, all right. I'm just letting people know what's up. So anyway, he gets into these pills, starts spinning around in the circle in my house, starts going nuts. My wife looks into the dog's eyes and see like they're not there.
Oh my God.
Runs to the emergency room vet. It happens to be a Sunday, so you got to go to the one of these real places. You know what I mean? As opposed to a local vet. Anyway, we have pet insurance. But so they have the dog. They have to have the dog overnight. They induce vomiting. Whole thing. They're shaving the forearm to put the, to put an IV in overnight. They put
in a little nightgown. They put a hospital nightgown.
They put a bell on the dog in case the dog starts having a seizure.
Oh, wow.
To make sure the nurse is paying attention.
The dog can have an IV? Like, he doesn't try to... Are they locking him down?
They might also be like, Liza Minnelli is sedating that dog. This show's wonderful.
I always wanted this IV.
I should eat more Adderall more often.
No, I saw the bill. One of those things have to be a sedative. There's 30 things.
Yeah, when I was in the hospital, one of the nurses was like, this pill that you're about to take, it's $1,000 pill.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Enjoy it.
Yeah. $1,000. I wasn't taking anything that incredible.
By the way, how do you feel? Do you have to go back and keep getting checkups? And yes. And then what does that look like? You have to get MRIs or?
Yes. And whatever's different than MRI, all the versions of MRI,
right.
I'm forgetting right now, whatever they hook me up to.
But CAT scan, that kind of thing.
CAT scan.
And how is everything?
So far clear.
Okay, good.
I have to see a radiologist, but I think I'm going to pass on that.
Why?
I'm on the border of they think I need it or not, so I have to make the decision.
Chemo or whatever?
Radiation.
So what is it, radiation? Is it like a liquid that goes into you?
It is a zap, sort of. They're zapping you with radiation, that terrible, horrible.
What is the side effects of that?
See, the side effects I don't like. So it could cause cancer in everything in that area.
Well, then why would you get it?
That's the opposite.
But if everything's clear right now.
They don't know.
What do you mean they don't know?
So it could be microscopic, and that's what radiation would do. Or I'd be waiting for this microscopic thing that they can't see even with CAT scans to grow, and then I have to have another thing because it could grow in the lung this time or because it got a little bit into my vitals.
Do they think it's possible that it won't even spread?
Yeah, it's probably not going to spread because I didn't have cancer, and cancer is the tough part. Cancer will spread.
What spreads.
Yeah, so the good news is it's always going to be right there, so they know where to look, so they don't have to keep looking everywhere.
All right.
Yeah.
Am I being too invasive? And the dog's not dead.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, just super
I'm just
quick.
Checking. Both, now I feel like my Italian aunt, just checking in, the both of you at the same time.
He turns around, goes around the whole room.
Yeah. He's like, oh, wait, I'm checking on Keith's dog. Hello, human. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The lasagna that Matteo made me, first of all, anytime.
Do you know how worried I was about the temperature and the cooking of that lasagna?
It was so
good. You were literally sitting in the hospital, and I'm like, this lasagna has to be cooked at this degree for this time. I mean, a psycho Italian. I hope it was good.
It was so good. Okay. I ate the shit out of it.
All right, good.
And I wasn't eating that much. So the food that people gave me, I mean, it was, your food was amazing. Lasagna? Are you kidding me?
It's my Napolitan recipe. And I tried very hard. I had a Napolitan ragu. I mean, I had a whole thing going.
It was amazing.
Thank my mother.
Thank and you. My aunts, and your mom. And your aunts. And your grandma.
Yeah.
And Napolitan, that of course is a place.
Napolitan. Napoli. Naples. Right. Yeah. Yes. It's a place. Oh my God. Continue about the dog.
Oh, by the way, so I'm just looking at this bill. Apparently, guess how much a dog catheter costs?
$3,000.
Only $110. So that's it? I got a good deal.
No way.
Give me the doctor's number. I'll say I'm a llama. I have to pee all the time.
Wait, is that what you're paying or that's what it costs?
That's what the dog's paying. What do you mean?
But is that after insurance or before?
The insurance should cover it all.
Okay.
But, you have to pay ahead of time. They don't have time to mess around. In fact, they're like, they go, okay, so for the first day, you owe us almost $2,000. Mm. You might get some kind of refund in case, maybe we didn't, figure everything exactly right with the dog needs. And it turned out I did. I got a $200 refund. But they wanted to make sure they had their money first.
You don't pay them first. Well, I would wait until my insurance cuts me a check.
Well, that's not how it works.
Really? Yeah. You can't leave there without paying, $2,000?
Yeah.
And then you got to wait for the insurance to send you the $2,000?
Yes.
I neglected some of those hospital bills because I'm like, I'm not paying
there's
it up front.
There's different rules.
But you can. Still they can expect that, you to pay it up front.
There's different rules between people and animals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm still paying that. I'm like, nothing's going to happen, right? They let me out. They can't bring me back in.
Yeah.
Dog did not have to be there longer. I picked up the dog today. Seems quite okay. They did tell me, they go, okay, so keep an eye out in case there is a seizure. And by that, signs would be, it looks like your dog's chewing gum or your dog starts running in a circle or your dog, of course, just falls over. My dog, no joke, loves falling over. Like, that's her thing. Like, she'll just be standing
there. What kind of dog?
Like, I think I'm tired now. A poodle. And just plop over. And everything's fun and healthy.
Oh, my God. Your dog has been getting in that stash for a while. And she finally got into the whole thing like she wanted. And yeah, you guys interrupted her high.
You should interview the dog on this show. That would make a great interview.
But if you look at keithandthegirl.com right now, you'll see pictures for Monday's show. And you'll see Casey Jones sitting on the couch. And then you'll see her kind of on her side. And I didn't know to take a video because I didn't see it was going to happen. But she was just there. And then, okay, I'm tired now.
The Tara Reid of dogs.
And so I'm in the lobby waiting for them to bring my dog out. And this guy sitting next to me, and he's about 60 years old. And he answers a phone call. Or I couldn't tell. It sounded like I thought he answered the phone call. But I'm hearing the other end. He has it on speaker. It sounds like he just called this person and then didn't realize what's up. Uh-huh. So I'm just thinking he has Alzheimer's.
Uh-huh. It's fascinating when people in a public place have the other line on speaker. I mean, it shouldn't bother us because people have conversations next to you.
No, so because I have enough stress in my life. I don't need to hear. But it's
interesting that phone calls will bother us and conversations are different somehow. I mean, I'm bothered by both of them, but I understand to shut the fuck up.
Can I tell you a conversation I heard in public that's very short the other day? A woman yelling at her, I assume her boyfriend, literally going, "Don't make a scene, don't make a scene, don't make a scene." And then his response verbatim was, "A scene has been made." And a gay man across the street eating a salad looked up and went, "Hit her!" and kept eating. 48th and 8th.
See, people think Hell's Kitchen lost its charm.
Oh, it's got plenty of charm.
So I'm guessing this is his daughter. Now, I'm just completely guessing.
Did you record it?
So I recorded it.
Keith always has recording equipment on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What are you, Comey?
I love them putting it on speaker. Yeah, I'm fine. Not
everybody. I can't wait to hear this conversation.
So you let me know if it's worth it. You let me know if it's clear. But right away, she starts saying, I know you're high. Why did you call me? Especially when I know you're high.
I told him.
Yeah.
Walk out of her song.
I told him.
Yeah.
Well, you sound like you sound. You took a sleeping pill last night to have me sound like that right now.
Yeah, well,
it's not okay.
Yeah,
So he'll keep doing this. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Isn't this Katy Perry and her therapist? This is the second hour of her therapy.
Why do you keep saying, yeah, okay? You're saying, yeah, okay. We know that you're on something. Yeah, okay, okay, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to understand that we know that you're on something and we know what it sounds like and we can tell.
Okay, all right. I thought I would tell you what the story is, okay?
You called me. Why did you call me? To tell me that you live fine?
Yeah.
To tell me that your dog's fine? Is that what you called me?
Okay. Yeah. Well, when I called you, did you realize that when I called you, you didn't say anything?
Well, you know what it was. I pressed
that voice. It sounds like a podcast called Madge Weinstein. Do you guys know who that is? Oh, like 15-year-old podcast. It sounds exactly like her. Him.
And I didn't press the button, and I always do that.
Like this. I know.
Okay, boy.
You're really a mess. Okay.
Like, just hang up the fucking phone, though. He's like, I'm trying to end this. Okay, I get it. I'm a mess. Okay.
Is he polite drunk?
Yeah.
It sounds like he's drunk.
It does sound like he's drunk. Detoxing for 2 weeks.
It sounds like his daughter.
That's what I think so.
God, this is a horrible conversation. This is making me feel terrible about myself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this is what I think people with problems have to know. That's what they sound like.
Mm.
Like, yeah, I know that you're high on something. Yeah, 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 yeah. So let's talk about my dog.
I think they know there's an embarrassment.
He doesn't
that
sound
goes
embarrassed.
He sounds embarrassed to me.
They'd hang up the fucking phone and be embarrassed.
Well, I think that they keep thinking that they could make it better by going like, no, I'm a kind person. This isn't like, your view of me isn't what you think it is. This is just my moment that's negative. I happen to call you. I know I do. Like all this bullshit. This is a friendly reminder, Al-Anon. It's free and it's everywhere. please join Al-Anon.
This conversation that really put me in a tailspin.
Well, then I jump in
emotionally
and I go, dude, you're on something.
Did you say that?
And the daughter says that. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. And then you're like, what?
Right. I go, okay, easy, a little privacy.
Yeah.
Is that Keith? Put him on the phone.
Mateo, what's the last movie you saw in a movie theater?
Alien Covenant, the world's worst movie.
You hate it. Why'd you hate it so much?
First of all, here's the thing. We're not scared of the alien anymore. That's the problem. Right. It's so oversaturated. Like, I'm not scared of it. Like, I'm not scared. The alien has two moves. It runs really fast, or it slowly comes up to you in a shower and kills you. I mean, it's like, all right, we're next. I mean, we're over. Also, I just have to say that Michael Fassbender, first of all, because I have to go out and auditions all the time and I never get any role because I'm gay, right? And they don't give gay roles to gay people. They give them to straight people. So Michael Fassbender, my only roles are optional for me are robots. C-3PO is gay.
Right.
R2-D2 was a lesbian. She had a tool belt. Even Wally was gay. He listened to the Hello Dolly version of Barbra Streisand. Ash in the original Alien, remember him? Mm-hmm. Died in Bukkake. I mean, is gay. And so, of course, Michael Fassbender in this movie just played a fat get. And it was just like, really? Like, I couldn't play that role. I can walk
is
around.
Is that how
like
we're allowed to say that word now?
Oh, I scream it from the mountaintops. But it's like baguette with an F. You know, it just is so annoying because it's like anytime Hollywood wants to make a character not seem sexualized, they make them slightly gay. So he was just he made out with himself in the movie. And the alien at one point was literally doing the YMCA. Remember the little alien going like kind of like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember.
Did you not
this.
See the movie?
I did see it.
Okay. When he like popped out of the stomach and then Fassbender's like, the therapist like, yes. And then the alien's like, you know, actually, that is Lindsay Lohan's been working recently. She was in that movie. But it just is like, I don't know. I'm not scared of those things anymore. If you're going to make Alien, you got to, now we have to step it up.
Right.
And you have to come at me some other way.
Well, we're going in the past now, which...
Yeah, but I'm not scared anymore.
Right, because you know these big aliens, and, you know, the mother has five sets of teeth, and now we're going back to what? When they're eggs?
When they're, like, they're all albino aliens running around, because they're, like, all white now. And also, James Franco was in the movie for 4 seconds, literally on a mountain, like, hey, how's it going? Probably, what is his, $12 million for that? 12. 13?
That's fair, right?
I mean, honestly, like, what is his quota? To me, the movie was boring as all fuck. It looked beautiful.
Right.
But it was stupid and just dumb.
There you go.
But the only roles I can play, gay robots.
It is fun. You bring up a great point. All androids do seem to be gay now. And it's because they can't be sexual, so they must be gay.
The only android that wasn't was Dot Matrix, played by Joan Rivers in Spaceballs. And that's pretty close to a gay man.
That's pretty close. People were giving me a hard time because I saw the latest The Mummy movie. And
with what's
Tom
her
Cruise.
Name? Tom Cruise, yeah. And how is she?
I don't know why what made the movie so bad, but it was just so bad and boring.
I didn't see it. And I'll tell you why.
But I like action movies. Why wouldn't I like this?
When a poster is of a woman who has two pupils in one eye, it's not going to be a good movie. That's the most of a mummy. You gotta go. I want to see bandages. I want to see a mummy.
Right.
And also, why does the mummy have so much power?
That's a lot. She has
and why
a lot
would
of
Tom
power.
Cruise of all people be able to stop a mummy who can like destroy buildings by blinking? Why?
Charm.
Sure. He's real charming.
You know what? He only kind of brings up this point, and it's a good point where I think. Like he plays this guy. His teeth are so white. Like
he's very handsome. He's not aging, which is that's creepy.
Right. But he can't play a mechanic. But there is some movie coming out where you know he's some kind of overseas. He's some kind of slime ball that works with Pablo Escobar, etc. I bet that's going to be a good movie because he plays a jerk off. But when he tries to play a nice regular guy that's charming. I think he can't pull it off because he's not able to.
The thing is, like, world. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think Jennifer Lopez does the same thing. Like, she picks these roles that everybody will fight for. You know, she's just like, I'm just.
And then
ruins regular,
them.
I'm just a regular woman, and everyone's after me, and then I will prevail at the end, but only in a polite but like very fierce way. And it's definitely like, let me stack the deck. Like everyone has to feel like they're on my side. I'm one of them. It's like Jennifer Lopez. There have been reports that you bought $2,000 wine and you don't even drink. You just want to have that happening. Do you know what I mean? And we could see that in your face, in your teeth color, in your skin, in your hair. That hair, if I can tell that your hair is expensive, your hair is way expensive. Your hair is 10 grand.
Well, it makes me think of that movie, Hell or High Water.
We never saw it.
It's so good. It is great.
Is Tom Cruise in it?
No, but Chris Pine is in it, and I bring it
up.
He's
handsome.
Because he's gorgeous, and he's in this shit town, and he's got to rob a bank to get money for a good reason, for a good cause. But I'm like, just look in a fucking mirror, realize you're a fucking supermodel. Like, nobody discovered you pumping gas. Like, he should be discovered close to the end of the movie.
That's
and
the
they
thing.
Go, you're a model. You're coming to L.A.
But that's all the thing about artists. I mean, at some point when you do find success, then it's like, where do you go from there? Right. You know who's done a great job? A box office poison. What's her name? Who was married to Tom Cruise?
Penelope?
No.
Boy, I'm old school on that
What's
one.
Her name? Why am I losing her name?
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman, thank you. I love her. I still think she's just, I don't know why.
She's so vanilla.
She is tapioca, but I love her. I do not know why. There's something about her.
She's cold porridge.
You know what?
I don't follow.
Watch her old David Letterman interviews. She is wildly charming.
Really?
Yeah. She's really, really charming.
The only time I liked, one of the few times I liked her is that movie where...
The Others?
Oh, no, I didn't even see that. The one where she wants to be a reporter and she works really hard. She's married to dumb shit that she doesn't respect, Keith.
To Die For, something
Thank
like
you.
That.
Thank you.
Do you know a lot about movies?
I see every movie ever made.
I can do anything and he'll get it. I'm like, what's hard for me is to even think about the movie to start. Keith, what's the movie where the guy died?
Flatliners.
But other people do that. And it's a superhero movie and it's like in clown makeup.
She's talking about Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
No.
That's good movie making right there. I love that movie. I've seen, my Aunt Cindy bought that movie. That is a fabulous movie. Great film, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. There's also a movie called Frogs, where frogs just kill people.
Okay.
If that's called the Bible.
Can we talk about Jesus for a second?
I was hoping.
Is this too much if I talk about Jesus?
No, I know you do a great impression. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, girl. here's my thing. When I ask people, and I'm going to go along. Maybe I shouldn't talk about this.
Do it.
I just think when people say that they're for gay rights and they're Christian, but then they say Jesus definitely wasn't gay,
right.
That means you still don't think gay people are, it's okay to be gay. And here's my argument, is I'm not going to say Jesus is gay, but I will say I too know what it's like to make up a bunch of excuses and stories as to why I don't have a girlfriend.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Richard Simmons just like, doesn't have the time.
I mean, it's like, and Jesus, like, I walk on water. Yeah, that's going to distract people for a minute. But like, if you're hanging out with a hooker in zero BC and you're not fucking her.
Right.
Also, like in the 80s, we didn't even think Liberace was gay. So in zero BC, of course, we're not going to think Jesus is gay. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't know. Is this too much? This is, oh my God. I'm going to get the backlash. Listen,
no,
I'm a faggot. I'm
much?
Sorry. I was told my whole life I'm going to hell. So.
No, I never really considered it that, like, not just that, you know, characters in the Bible could be gay, but also bisexuality must have been in some part and was in some parts of history a no big deal, because I thought about this recently because I'm like, you know, for a minute, I'm like, am I bi? Like, I was trying, I was like kissing girls, and I'm like, I don't know, this feels queer to me, like actually queer, like odd to me. But then I was like, you know, the first few people that I made out with, or the like a few people that I slept with that were dudes, I was not attracted to them at all. I was trying it on. I was seeing if I could be attracted. Some of them I became attracted to. Some of them I fell in love with, but I wasn't always like, that's what I want. And it wasn't always like, you know, so I'm thinking before there was this stigma, before you needed to like come out of any closet, before there was a closet, people were probably trying shit on. How did you figure out blowjobs? Somebody put a mouth on a penis, right?
Like a lot of Googling.
Do you know what I mean?
No, gargling, he said.
Well, one and the same.
Yeah, so I feel like more guys would be kissing guys, because girls can do it because, you know, it gets exciting for some idiots and like... we are generally allowed to like touch each other more, like physically in general and be smushy. And so it could lead to kissing a little bit easier because there's not as much of a stigma. But if there wasn't that on guys, You don't think they'd be like, well, that's the thing. Trying to get on. You're so horny. It's the, you just want somebody to touch you.
Yes. Especially like, especially it. When you're going to die at age 12. You know what I mean? Like the Bible. And the Bible
There's no time. Touch it.
Yes. And the Bible is ironically a very heteronormative book that is very homoerotic. You know what I mean? Like it focuses solely on relationships between men and women. But I'm like, girl, like, there was, I mean, I can't even imagine what it was like back then. We also, with the painting pictures that we got from like the El Greco paintings in the Catholic Church, it made it seem like, you know, Israel was like a very clean place. You know, I think any time in 0 BC was a mess.
That's true. No one was street cleaning. There weren't alternate sides of the street.
I mean, if you go to Rome now, it's a mess.
Like you said, so in the 80s and 70s, we were throwing, in the great America, we were throwing garbage. Like we had to be taught by a crying Indian that you don't just throw garbage on the street and somebody's going to come pick it up. I remember that litter was not a big deal. This whole city was littered.
Yeah.
That's by the way, that Indian.
Oh, I'm not supposed to say Indian. I feel like. And then I just said it. And then I said a stupid comment after that.
Your intentions work right.
Oh, great.
Going for the wrong thing.
Keith, yes.
But is it too much to say? Because I've tried this bit on stage before, and it's gotten wildly intense reactions.
What bit?
Talking about Jesus.
Oh.
I'm not saying anything bad.
Then keep going. That's a sign that you keep going. Why are we worried where Jesus put his penis? Why is that offending us? Why is that? Why when people keep asking you where you put your penis as a gay man, how do you have sex? Why?
Well, if nobody even had sex with my mother.
I just had a tweet that blew up where I said, you know, in quotations, "You don't look gay" is not a compliment. And it like Dan Savage tweeted at me. I was like, whoa, I thought it was like an off the side, like weird tweet. You know, I'm always tweeting about Mariah or something else. So I thought, well, this will be kind of cute. And then that happened. But I don't know. I mean, it's weird when I'm going into material because, like, I have these thoughts and
Dan Savage, he was on this movie that I saw. Do I Sound Gay? I think it's called.
We talked about that last time. I didn't see it, but I can imagine the first 20 minutes being like, hey, I have a question.
And it is. And it was.
I sound gay. I own it. I don't care. I sound gay as the day is long.
Well, part of it was that that people feel a satisfaction even without wanting to when somebody says, hey, you don't sound gay. There's even Dan Savage, you know, in all his glory and all his open-mindedness. Well,
it's because masculinity is the most cherished thing in society. So we're you know, women, it's almost like this country doesn't give a shit about women's sexuality.
Almost.
I mean, a lot. You like women in this, but also. So in the sense that like women can wear pants, women can be tomboys, women can touch each other, like, and we're not threatened by that, but we're wildly threatened by the idea of what it means to be a man and masculinity and don't touch another man. Like, you know, it's this idea that still we're still trying to get over the stereotypes and sort of brainwashing of what it means to be a man.
Well, so, my husband as a trans person is now seeing the difference between, you know, how people get treated when they think that you're a woman and when they think that you're a man, because he's starting to pass now. He's got short hair and shit like that. He's about to go on testosterone, and
good
now right, and so now when he enters people's home that he doesn't know, like if he's delivering something, more women will ask him if he needs help more often. They'll ask him more often if he wants something to drink, more often if he wants something to eat, and they'll repeat it. So it's just very interesting
if he's coming across as a woman.
No, as if he's coming across as a female, then no, they won't offer him that stuff. As a male, they'll offer him all the stuff. As a male, when he takes the elevator with another male, it feels uncomfortable. And then that guy starts going, did you see the game yesterday? And he has to catch himself and not go, yeah, to like, you know, participate. You know what I mean? Because he's struggling with now, how does he participate with women and men? Because with women, when you present yourself as a female, it's like we were saying, you could be touchy, you could be whatever. Now presenting as a male, you're threatening women. And now he has to remember that he is a different thing to this person.
Tell him to read a book called The Testosterone Files. Okay. I don't know if he's read that book yet, but it's an entire book about the just a trans man documenting what it was like going from female to male, and everything from chemicals to the voice to the thoughts to you know, he was talking about how when he was walking down the street, he was, because of the testosterone, you know, men would, it's not like they were picking fights with him, but like he would noticing, like if he's walking down the street and is sort of in someone's way, they will knock him in the shoulder, and that they will, you know, and think.
I was just going to say, he's never, okay, so here's an experience that he's now podcasting. It'll be on our VIP program about this. I think it's fascinating. He, Somebody opened a door for him. He was about to step in, which is totally normal under any other circumstance. The guy pushed him like a very, you know, like male testosterone. You're like, the fuck do you think you're doing? And he's pleased because he's like, obviously you wouldn't do this if you thought I was. Right. So that's another thing is you have to get over your own, like, I'm so happy that someone's shitting on me. Like, he has this example. This woman was talking to him for 20 minutes about Jesus. We're both atheists. 20 minutes about Jesus. And he was like, yeah, I'm all about it because she keeps using male pronouns. Mm-hmm. So he's basking in mm-hmm. it, just telling her, I share Jesus. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're referring to me with male pronouns?
I just, because he looked so innocent, I wanted to talk to him about Jesus.
Does he have a male mentor? Like, he can go, we all don't like have to like sports, right?
You know what? He now made a conscious decision to pick 2, 3, 4 guys in our friendship circle to go, okay, I've been thinking about you guys. You are who, if I had to emulate, and I do, because I don't know how to navigate this world of like what people expect from me as a guy in this way. So he's like, I want to be men like you. I'm going to, and it's part of the podcast and it's going to be part of the first episode. I want to know what to expect. And then he wants to, you know, talk to women about what they expect. But mostly he is re-zhuzhing his relationships with people because it's like you said, like before you can like sort of sleep in a bed with someone and it's not, you know, now it's like this whole different thing. On the train, you know, I've walked in on the train car and there's women, there's 3 other women already there and they're not spread away. They're sitting close together and I know that they don't know each other because they're sitting far enough apart. And I sat across from one of them also because there's strength in numbers and we know what we are all doing. Yeah. We're the only ones. And if
that's what gays do at night. I'm not making a joke.
Yeah.
Like gays, I will seek out the other gays. Like, all right, girl, we're together.
Yeah.
It's, just in case.
There's a thing. So yeah. Now when he walks on that train, he has to remember that if he sits in that circle, which he's probably mm-hmm. a little bit more, you know, likely to do back then, because everyone wants like at 2 a.m, somebody on the train. Now he has to recognize when he walks in on that train, there you are the reason why these people are sitting together. Mm-hmm. It's your appearance right now. Mm-hmm. So he's
got to sit separate. That's very interesting.
Interesting, right?
My friend Frank, who is transitioning right now, where he's also the only other person I know who has synesthesia. Him and I both have it.
So does, I think Hennessy has that too.
Really?
I believe so. But anyway,
continue. I think we talked about this. I think Hennessy, okay, we'll talk about that. Yeah. But
1 second, please. What is it?
Synesthesia is neurological, your brain senses overlap in brain development. So you have like unprovoked associations with things. So like this is going to sound strange. Do you guys know what synesthesia is? Every letter and number to me has a color and music has color.
Okay.
So it's like if I see 4, I see the color yellow, or 2 is red, or 3 is green.
What's 4?
Yellow.
Okay, just check.
My friend Patrick always browses me. He's like, do you see like brown a lot? Like he's always making poo jokes. But my friend Frank, who
do you have to go like? There's so many numbers. Is 111 like taupe?
That's
because you
no,
ran
but
out?
It's 111 is like white, white, white. It's like super bright because one is white, and so those colors start to. But 24 is red, but if you look closely, it's a reddish yellow.
Okay.
Anyways,
have different colors?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I sound crazy, but Google it. But my friend Frank, him and I always joke because we were so close in college and we both went to art school and we both illustrate the same way. Our minds were both musically inclined, like our minds sort of worked the same way. And we would always make fun of like Snow White and Disney movies and draw them. And he used to have a really high soprano voice. And so now when we talk and I talk to him and his voice is so low, he's like, yeah, I can't do those. I can't make fun of Snow White. I can't do those jokes anymore.
Actually, he's more. Mourning that, you know, Hennessy's mourning it because
but that is
it's
okay.
Part of it. Let me tell you how he's mourning it. This is the coolest thing in the world. We're going into the studio.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
I mean, he's got that range, you know, and so we're going into the studio. He's going to record half of a duet, then transition and record the other half. And
oh, that's fabulous.
Duets with himself. Isn't that
that's
fun?
Great?
Right?
There is, you know, listen, you know, gay people, and there's a lot of parallels with gay and trans people because you're playing with that idea of what it means to be masculine and feminine and walking in between those lines. And I think it's gay
and also
men,
people don't believe you.
Well, let's not even get into that. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, it's this gay man, I think it's a good, you know, when we always talk about like There's a lot of shame for being a quote unquote feminine in the gay community. I think that's the good part about being gay is you have your foot in both worlds, you know? And I think trans is the same where it's, you do have to have a moment where you're, because the whole life you're trying to, for me, trying to build up this sort of Frankenstein monster of who you think other people think you're supposed to be.
Yep.
And then when you come to terms with you, who you are, there takes a moment and some quicker than others to break down that monster.
Well, for Hennessy, it manifested because you're not comfortable with who we are and because you kept hiding, it manifested in a lot of lies. So he responding in lies, whether they're smaller or bigger, whatever. So he's talking about that on the podcast.
Because you're trying
to
protect yourself. And that's where that comes from.
And there becomes a blurred line between like,
I'm getting. Yeah. I just want everyone to listen to how serious I got.
Keith, how are you?
No, I like talking about this. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't mean to. This is a comedian in me who wants to break tension. But totally. But I think that's great.
Yeah, I think people should hear it from his words. KeithandTheGirl.com/VIP. The first episode is coming up. The revamped Bottoms Up with Hennessy is coming up.
Bottoms Up.
Yeah, either this Friday or next Friday. I think it's an interesting story.
I'm in.
Yeah.
71% of people think I shouldn't have seen the Tom Cruise movie.
Did you just get this poll right now? You're damn right you shouldn't have seen the Tom Cruise movie.
Thank you. He was like getting on me because it's like, yeah, of course you hated it. What made you go see The Mummy?
The Mummy. I mean, grow up.
Thank you.
grow up. We're mature and we watch Aliens.
I went with Amber Nelson because I love watching a scary movie with Amber Nelson because she screams at the screen the whole time.
I picked you doing impressions of aliens and robots. Help yourself.
We went to go see Annabelle, that horrible movie about that doll. It wasn't even about the doll. But anyways, in the movie, there was like a scary scene. And in a totally quiet theater, Amber's just like, oh, fuck. Like just screaming. So I love seeing it. But even she was like, this is bad. I mean, Annabelle was better than Alien Covenant.
This person, Finger Lakes, and I met him. He's a homosexual. He wrote, The Mummy looked like shit from the beginning, to be honest. The first trailer they released it, they forgot to put in the music and sound effects.
What?
So he's
funny.
He's banging around in this plane, but there's no, you only hear him like, oh, ah, oh, ah. Ah,
that seems.
I thought it was an artistic decision.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would that be an accident?
I mean, any movie named The Mummy, it feels like there's not a lot of thought behind it, which is kind of crazy because Tom Cruise does pick good roles. Like, even The World of the Worlds was a horrible movie. He was very good in that movie. Mm-mm. I thought he was great. He was a likable dad. Fanning was the problem.
He looked like he was wearing shiny shoes to the end of the world while being a mechanic. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
he was
I guess you're right.
I'm just a mechanic. No, there's like, in what world?
I guess you're right. I really got sucked into.
Hendrick gets
first
passionate.
The quarter
as
of that movie is good. Then the rest of it just blows.
Bucho says, what kind of Humpty would blame Keith for thinking The Mummy could be good? This kind of action flick is precisely Tom Cruise's wheelhouse. Movies like Edge of Tomorrow and the last couple of Mission Impossible films have been plenty entertaining. Cruise may be a super weirdo in real life, but there's a reason he's a star even at 54. Dude simply has an undeniably impressive hit rate when it comes to being entertaining on the big screen.
Is that why Tom Cruise is still a hit? Is it Scientology? Could we not give him that much credit at least?
What are you talking about?
Listen, Top Gun.
We're all supporting Tom Cruise because he's in Scientology?
Yeah, Scientology helps push that man's career forward and remain on top. Yes.
Not if Leah Remini has anything to do with that.
Right. You don't think it's a turnoff, if anything? You don't think people go
No, I think too? I think a lot of people are people are turned off by it.
Well, they're turned off by it. You hear Beck's a Scientologist, and you're like, oh, but I like
Who?
Him. That's a shame.
Beck is?
Yes.
Who gives a shit?
Well, but you see my point. No, but nobody's going, what? You're acting like Scientology's the Illuminati.
I see your point, but I also see that, you know, the president got to where he was because people behind these people pushed their agenda forward, pushed them forward.
Most,
so no matter how
most
grossed
of the people
out,
behind Trump look like Keebler elves.
But no matter how grossed out we are by these people, they have these people behind them, pushing them and keeping them on top. That's like undeniable, right?
I'm really curious what's going to happen with obstruction of justice, because if your lawyers are hiring lawyers and the vice president's hiring lawyers and everyone's getting subpoenaed and it's like, ooh,
bullshit.
That's not good.
Who is coordinated over there on top enough to like even want to reveal any of it because it's something somebody's not in their
pocket? I think Mueller's going to do a good job.
We'll see.
I'll so still far, watch Rachel Maddow.
Nobody's doing a good job.
No one's doing. I'm barely doing a good job getting dressed.
Well, Henda, the other day, she said, you know, I don't know why you keep seeing these movies. You always hate them. And I'm like, well, I must enjoy the experience or I wouldn't keep doing it. You know, nobody's forcing me.
I don't know. I've seen who people have stayed married to. They must keep enjoying the experience. You know what I mean?
So I think marriage is for the weak. But I'm just saying that because I'm jealous because I'm single. But
So Hemda says, let's keep track from now on.
Okay. Mm.
When you liked the movie and when you didn't.
Because I was saying more than 50% of the time, if I was betting, I'd be winning that he hated it.
And we'll talk about this tomorrow.
Wait, have you had Evan Williams on this show?
The drink, yes.
He's just going on, man. Evan Williams, she talks like this. He's a comedian. He's really funny.
By the way, Newsy brings up a great point. When he listens to podcasts and comedians go, do you know this comedian? It's great. And I'm like, you know what? I do hate that because it makes me look like an asshole.
Why? Why doesn't he? I was going to say he loves movies. You should talk to him about movies.
Okay, I'll get to know him. You know what I mean?
I guess it's the same when people are like, do you know this gay person? And I say no, even though I do. But just to
prove
a point.
You're the opposite. I just nod to move on. No, but I'm sure his career is going great. You know what I mean? No, I'm a piece of shit.
Why are you a piece of shit? That's not a piece of shit thing to say. You're a busy man. You're working. And I appreciate you and the platform that you guys give younger comedians. And so I'm saying there's a comedian on this show that would be good.
All right. I'll see him Thursday.
All right.
Libby, do you hear that?
Sounds perfect. Oh, I love Libby. Are we closing the show? I'm having so much fun talking.
You forgot you were hot.
I did forget I was hot.
Now that's it.
In many senses of the word. Date me.
So anyway, tomorrow we will, we can start keeping score. I've seen 4 movies since we've talked last.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now Han's going to hate you because that's going to be their job. But I'm just kidding, Han. Oh, they're in. Okay. Done.
What are you talking about?
Han's keeping track, Keith. What are you talking about?
She'll be okay. Okay. So get off that person's Instagram for a moment and rate that.
But go to my Instagram because I'm naked in every photo and I need a boyfriend.
And it's very motivating.
Is it?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, he's got his shirt off and everything, and I'm like, he's not even flexing. I got
mainly
go work
showing
out.
My butt.
Oh yes, the butt is awesome.
That's all I do.
Butt is great. I like when you're topless and it's like, oops, are my pants down? I didn't even like notice.
Oh, I know. I'm trying my very hardest to show everything I got because I'm only gonna look this good one, and then I'll be dead. You know what I mean?
Like, that's the attitude.
That's how it. Well, that's how Italian I am. That it's like this. Everything's gonna come crumbling down tomorrow.
Oh,
so
I'm
just
all
get
for
as
it.
Naked as you can now.
I'm in Instagram. Follow him. It's very important.
Did anybody ever tell you your mustache is ridiculous, or is it like your
everyone
thing?
Hates
no.
it? Yeah. There was and this one guy tweeted at me. He's like, "Why don't you shave your mustache?" And I just wrote back, "Why don't you grow yours?" I mean, there was the worst comeback in the world.
I like it.
Can I tell you real quick, and then I'll stop talking. I was in Ohio,
If
you're from Ohio,
don't
leave. I was in Columbus, Ohio, and I was crossing the street, and because you know the streets are so big there, you have to press the button and stand there like an asshole. So I'm standing there, and a car drives by and screams, "Fag!" At me, which now listen, I get called faggot all the time, but this was different because it was a drive-by faggot. So while I'm standing there, I just hear faggot. And I know. Well, I was in a sundress, but I mean, I was like, come on. I thought you would get a bigger laugh out of it. I got called faggot 3 times that day, and I was opening for Nicole Byer, and there were Trump supporters, and they were screaming Trump at her. They got kicked out because everyone started fighting with each other, and then I got heckled every single night, and we ate at the Cheesecake Factory twice in one day.
Oh, so that's the worst.
That's how you know it's a bad day. When you are eating at the Cheesecake Factory twice in one day, it is a bad day.
You have your own table.
We came back in and I bought pie earlier, then did the show. And I was like, I'll eat this pie when I get home. And Nicole's like, now we have to eat. You know, that was like 5 hours ago. We have to get dinner. So the only place open was cheese. So I brought my own pie I bought earlier back into the Cheesecake Factory. And he's like, do you need anything? And I was like, no, I have this from earlier.
Yeah, I promise.
And Nicole was like, they must think we are nightmares. Nightmares.
All right, Mateo's website is MateoLaneComedy.com.
And please come to Battle of the Divas June 28th. It's my birthday. It is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Birthday show. It's going to be NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys.
By the way,
Cello.
Do you know how many times you said it's your birthday for hating to celebrate your birthday?
Because
I'm on to you.
Keith, I want people to come to the show.
I see Mateo today. He goes, hi, is your birthday coming up also?
No, like, I never said that. That's ridiculous. It is. So you should come Union Hall, Battle of the Divas, 7:30, doors open, 8 p.m. show.
All right. We all know NSYNC's better, though, right? I mean, we're done with that.
Okay. What do you two vote? NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. See? Yeah.
Backstreet Boys?
I like the Backstreet Boys better.
Well,
even though NSYNC had a star, I mean, they're all pretty tepid, but NSYNC felt faker to me.
Gone! That song over the top.
I know what you mean about the star, Lance Bass. All right.
I love Lance Bass.
So, Mateo. is here to say. Go ahead.
Do I have to, what? What am I saying?
The closing line.
Oh, well, listen. I just want to sing a song that Billy Stretch arranged for me. And it goes a little something like this. L is for the way you look at me.
No, just come to watch my show on IFC.com called Janice and Jeffrey. I worked really hard on it. And then follow me on Instagram and find me a man, please.
All right, there you go. There you go. What is better? Ass sex.
Ass sex? Like butt sex?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, am I topping or bottoming?
Bottoming.
Okay, so far, well, it depends on the top. But.
Or apparently anything else. All right, I got my answer.
Butt sex.
Okay. Oh, butt sex. You do like it.
No, I hate it.
I don't know. Are you more in control? Do you know what I mean?
I tend to bottom more often because topping is so stressful.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's better when you're in a relationship with someone, but at first, it's like, I can never be, like, there's so much bravado with tops. They're like, I'm going to fuck the shit of you. No one's going to believe me if I say that to them. No one at all. No one. So it's better to lay back and enjoy the ride and let them do the work and, you know, I don't know, file my nails.
When I have sex, sometimes I don't know, will I be, it's kind of organic, meaning I don't know if I'm on the top or the bottom, but you know you will be on the bottom. Do you immediately get into position or do you have to pretend like, I
don't
know
where. Depends on the guy.
I don't know where it's going to go either. Oh,
first of all, you're talking to me like I've never had sex before.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, it depends on the guy. Normally,
I'm pretty sure he's talking to you like he's never had sex.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Well, I mean, it's not like he comes over and I'm just butt up. I mean, normally you like kiss first and you try and set the mood. Yeah, if he wants me to.
Like, whoa, I'm falling.
Yeah, well, like what am
but
I like?
Keith, there's also
am I like a secretary in like the 1960s and I'm wearing a short mini skirt?
But there's also not one position for the bottom. The bottom is just the notion of being the bottom.
I can be on top. That's from Tyra Banks. I could be, you know, any position. It's very similar with men and women.
Look at that.
You know what? We'll talk about the bees and the bees later.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com.